can put a marker in 2 Peter, you can put a marker in Luke 14, and you can put a marker in Romans 8. We'll be there all weekend, somewhere there. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Okay. Hallelujah. Well, we've had a few things happening since the last time we were here, and one thing that I want to mention tonight is there's some things happening in Peru that's wonderful. I mean, I preached here about a week or so ago to 20 pastors in Peru, in the Piura area where Pastor Julio is now residing. We had about 20 that we preached to over the internet. Cameras, the whole works. I mean, they were there, I was here. And they all got blessed and prayed for them, and some of them got touched by God. And just a wonderful time. They didn't record the message, so I told them afterwards, I said, you know, I'm not going to do it again until you can record the message. It was just a deal where somebody wasn't thinking about what they should do and what they shouldn't do. So now they're able to record it. And you say, well, why did you do that? Well, the reason I did that is just the same reason I would do it here. You know, if we can't provide a way for you to get this word, this message that we're preaching down inside you, then we really don't need to be doing it, because you can't just hear it once and you got it. You might get one thing, maybe one or two might get one thing out of a message tonight. But if we record it where you're able and you have the opportunity, and you have the opportunity to make a decision to take that recording and listen to it over and over and over and get it down in you, then it changes the whole picture. And see, I can't preach to a bunch like that, especially pastors, and preach just one time or one message and say, well, okay, you know, if they got it, they got it, and if they didn't, they did it. No, it doesn't work that way. Because I not only got to get it down inside them, but I got to get it down inside them to where they can get it out to others. And that way you change people's lives. And that's really what this is all about, is changing lives. We could call you up here, and you come up with an ingrown toenail, and if we pray for you and your ingrown toenail all of a sudden straightens up, then we've changed your life. If we call you up here and you have cancer and we pray for you, you get a miracle, we've changed your life. Well, it's no different than when we preach the Word of God. When we preach these messages, we're out to change your life. God doesn't like you where you're at. He likes you, but He doesn't like where you're at. He wants that change. He wants us changed all the time. Day after day after day, He wants change instilled in our lives and become manifested. And some of us will get in a, you know, we'll be in a denominational setting of some type, you know, and it doesn't matter which one it is. That's immaterial, but we'll come out of a denominational setting into what we think is freedom, get baptized in the Spirit, and get over in that realm of, you know, of non-denominationalism, and, you know, and we'll feel free for a little while, because we are to an extent. But if we've been instilled in something back there out of some of that stuff we come out of, we've got to at some point confront it. If we don't confront it, it's just going to keep popping up and ruling our lives, running our lives for us. So at some point we have to confront it and began to push it aside and put it to death and rise up in new life.
Amen.
That's called change in your lives. See, we've got to, you know, when you walk into your house, you walk into the living room, open the door, and whatever is in your life that is holding you back or keeping you from going forward in God will be there to meet you. See, you're one person here. You walk through that door, we get to meet a certain person. But when you walk into your living room, your wife or your husband or your children, they get to meet a different person. Because you walked into a different room. So there to meet you is what you really are. That's the real you. You know, we got these things in our lives and we like to call them cockroaches. You know, in our lives, and we walk into our living room, we may have one of us may have a bunch of cockroaches. Another one may have just a few. Some may have one big one. You know, and a bunch of little ones or something like that. But we all walk into that room and we get to confront whatever is in us. You know, and sometimes it can be hard to deal with.
True.
That big cockroach, you know, rears up on his hind legs and challenges us. We just came from church. We drove home. There he is, waiting, standing up on his hind legs, his mandibles chomping. Cockroaches have mandibles, don't they? I want to make sure. I've just been waiting to do this all evening.
Boy, you got blessed.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
He's sweating a little bit, though.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now.
I'm thinking about how many cockroaches I've got in each room. I just believe them, man.
So we go in, that's another thing, you know, we go from room to room, we open up the door, you know, and then we get afraid to open that door. We don't want to open it any longer. We opened it one too many times and seen the real truth. And if you pray a lot, if you really get into the message and really pray a lot, you're going to end up feeling like you don't want to open the door. And then the devil gets to convincing you you're okay right where you're at. And then pretty soon you won't even show up in church. You won't even listen, go anywhere and listen to a message like this because you don't want to confront it. See? Something inside you is stopping you from confronting it. But if you'll go ahead and confront it every time, and take these messages and use what you can, step at a time, pretty soon you're going to come out on the other side and you're going to kill that cockroach.
Amen. Right.
But if you stop, then he won and you lost. See, that's not what God wants. He wants you to come out on the other side and be walking in the place that you're supposed to be walking in. Not just part of it, not just a little bit of it, but all of it, the fullness of what He had for you, what He has for you, the fullness of it. See? And that's what 2 Peter is about. He said, you know, everything that pertains to life and godliness, it's yours. It's been given to you. You have everything that you need to be able to walk into that room and clean the room out. But if you don't do the things that the Word of God, not me, but the Word of God provides, and you don't actively do them, you're not going to clean the room out. See, it's one thing to hear them, but you got to do them. Remember? Don't just hear the Word of God, but be doers of the Word. So these things that we preach and we teach, whether it be me or Pastor David or Pastor Cindy or Pastor Shelley or Beth, regardless of who it is, these things that we preach, you can't just hear them and go on down the road. Well, I paid my penance at church today. I showed up and walked through the door and sat down. That's not good enough. And it won't clean your house. So you've got to clean that house and fill it up with the Word of God. That's what it's for. At some point, you'll have to make a decision. Am I going to serve God or am I going to serve the world? And serve the world can be things that some of you don't, and you just accept it every day. Like letting things override the things of God. Things. Family. Shopping. Gathering in things, you know what I mean? Gathering in, you know, getting more things. Putting God on the back burner. Putting Him second instead of putting Him first. Hey, this is the deal. If you love your family, you'll hate them first. Put God in that spot. If you love your family, you'll hate them first. I'm not talking about the hate that you're thinking of. If you love your family, you will do everything you can to put God first, that you may have what it takes to help your family at the right time when they need help. The right help. You don't need to be an enabler. You need to be a deliverer. See, God wants you to be able to step in and intervene on somebody's life. Stop what is going on. Stop what is happening in their life. Bring them out of it and take them into freedom. That's what He called us to do. That's what we're supposed to do. That's why it's exciting when I hear things about people in the church, you know, minding their own business. Somebody has an epileptic fit. They go and pray for him. He gets up and walks away, and they go ahead and go on about their business. Hey, that's New Testament stuff.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Raphael done that.
He did.
Didn't stop for any recognition or anything like that. Prayed for the kid. Got delivered. Raphael and Doris just went on their way. Just an everyday deal with Raphael.
Yeah.
I can hear him. Just the devil.
Yeah.
That's what he told me over the phone yesterday when I was talking to him. Just the devil. Look, God called you to a certain place. You're not going to attain it by attaining to other things of this world and putting them things first. You've got to make a decision at some point that you're going to put God and the things of God first. That means everything in the Word of God first. So, I don't know whether I can do all that. Hey, that's the only decision you have to make. Is I want God and His things first. That's the only decision you've got to make. Because He's provided everything that you need to be able to walk that out. Everything. Anything that you would need in any situation, He's provided it that you can walk that walk. trying to be nice. Tonight is fun night. No guarantees after tonight. I'm trying to make sure tonight's fun night. Well, it hasn't been too bad so far. I've really just challenged you tonight. So you walk into that room, you know, and that big thing is there to meet you. And you get to make a decision at that point. Because you already know that God's provided what you need in order to be able to defeat it. Whether it takes something like fasting to defeat it, or confession of the Word, or more prayer to build you up on your most holy faith. Whatever it is that is needed to defeat that thing in your life that met you in that room, God has provided it and you know it. Now, here's the deal. Here's the hard part. Here's the hard part. If there is a hard part about it, this is the hard part. Is you get to make a decision whether you're going to turn from that and go a different direction, calling on obedience to God is what it's called. Whether you're going to obey God and do His things instead of giving in to that that's met you. You get to make that decision. Nobody can make it for you. I can preach to you all night long, every night for the next 30 days. That won't make any difference because you'll still have to make the decision. You'll still have to decide, am I going to be obedient to that thing that I'm meeting in my living room, or am I going to be obedient to God? Which is it? Am I going to be obedient to that thing in my life that has ruled me all this time? Whether it be something from some denomination I was involved in or something that was passed down from my ancestors. Am I going to be obedient to that, or am I going to be obedient to the Word of God? That's the decision that you get to make. See? Obedience is all that's required. Because He'll help you with the rest. But He's not going to make you. He's not going to make you love Him. You have to decide whether you're going to love Him or not. You have to fall in love with Him. He understands that it's a process. You know, you might say, well, I fell in love with my wife at first sight. Nah, maybe a little bit. For some, probably lust more than love. It was a transformation process. You grew and you grew in that love. You fought later. You grew. You grew and you grew in that love. And He understands that you're not going to fall to the depth of that love that He's provided right away, first sight, first moment. You know, I can remember when I got born again, filled with the Spirit. I can remember how it was. I can remember that high that I was on. But I tell you what, it wasn't near anything like it is today. It was a transformation process. It was a changing in me to where I wanted Him more than what I knew had in the past, whether it be sin or wrong doctrine or whatever. You know, I transformed and changed out of that and moved more toward Him and what He wanted, what I knew that He wanted to replace those things. But it took some decisions along the way. I was confronted with things along the way. Should I do this that I have been doing, or should I do what's right? And I make the decision right. If not, I end up back where I was, back in the wilderness. If you get far enough back, you get all the way back in Egypt. At the beginning, if you go far enough back, hopefully you're not getting that way. But if you do, that's what will happen. You'll get so far back that God's not even there because you left Him, not because He left you. He'll never leave you. That's right. But you can't get too far away. You'll get so far away you can't even reach him. See? But you get to make a decision, you know, am I going to do what I've been doing and what I did in the past? Am I going to carry that doctrine? And you know, some of the most religious people of all are the ones out of the faith doctrine. They think they're okay. When you think that you're okay, you're in dangerous territory. I don't care what circle you travel in when you think that you're okay. Because we took some of those doctrines that we learned in the faith movement that were wrong. They were just wrong. I know this is going to be on the internet. Just because I just say what others think. You know, and we took these pieces of doctrine that were taken out of context, that were not right. Things about money and, you know, and seed faith, which should have been the Word of God, and people tried to change it to money and junk like that, and, you know, and I'm not going to do what the doctor said because I'm walking in faith, you know. Hey, look, if you don't have the manifestation, then you're lacking somewhere in your faith walk. Now, you'll get there if you keep trying. You'll get there. But why not just go ahead and live a little longer where you can make the trip?
Right.
You know, I'll do funerals. I'll do funerals for people that I don't even know if they ask me to. But I don't want to. I don't want to do any funerals. I prefer that everybody in this room make their walk of faith and end up in the fullness of God and not go home early. Why not just go ahead and take that 15-cent pill and get over with it? You know, it's just the same way as whenever I'm talking about fasting and people will say, well, I got bad headaches on the third day, so I quit. Why didn't you take a Tylenol? I mean, this is not rocket science. Just take a Tylenol, get over the headache, and continue fasting.
Amen.
Well, the devil heaps condemnation on me. That's why you got to know who your God is and say, Lord, forgive me, but I got to take this Tylenol so I can keep right on fasting. Guess what? He forgave you already. Well, it's the same way, you know. And so we had some of these things that came out of the faith movement. And I thank God for the faith movement. I thank God for the foundation that I have in faith. But I also know to recognize the things that were just a little bit off. Because when you get a little bit off, pretty soon you can get a long ways off. That's the problem. So you got to stop it at some point and say, no, this ain't the way God looks at it. And get back on track. You know, and Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin Sr., whenever he was alive, he's in heaven now, of course, everybody probably knows that, but whenever he was alive, he would stop and say, now listen, boys, you're going the wrong direction. He would just outright say, you know, you that are thinking that you can give $10 and get $100 back are wrong. And he'd call them all together and say that. He was bold about it. He didn't let it go unsaid. Well, now we know it. You know, I don't know. You're up here. It's down there. They're doing what they want to do. Because they don't have a prophet to keep them in check.
Amen.
I'm praying to God that somebody will step forward and stop some of that nonsense.
Amen.
Anyhow, you've got to confront those things in that room when you walk in there and say, no, I'm not going to go that route. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to accept that. I know that that's wrong. And you got to make your stand against it. I don't know what it is. You know what it is in your life. You know what it is that keeps you out of church. You know what it is that keeps you from getting involved in the things of God. You know that, whether it be money, whether it be family, whether it be this or that. You know. You know what it is. I don't. But I know this, that everybody has to go through the same transformation process. You have to confront those things. You have to stop and say, I'm not going that direction. What does God say about this? See, I can do one of two things. I can give you what I think, or I can give you what God thinks. I prefer to give you, Kim, what God thinks. And if I don't know it, I'll find it. You have to make that decision each time you confront that in your life that is slowing you down or stopping you. Now look, for the most part, with an exception or two, I've been preaching and teaching and bringing this word now since 1998 here in this spot. Ulysses. Now, it's time to be grown up. It's time to make some decisions. What am I going to do about it? Hey, you all know what's right. Since 98. I don't know what was preached before 98 to this church, but I know what's been preached to it since 98. That's 12 years this month. Last month. If you didn't get it tonight, I'll preach it again Sunday so everybody can get it. You know what decisions to make. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. So you get that decision, but there comes a time that you become accountable. You keep going around the mountain and not confronting that thing in your living room. Pretty soon you're going to be accountable to it. Got a little heavy on you, didn't it, tonight? Look, I just love everybody in this room. I've grown to know you all, and you know, I love it. I love being here. But look, I didn't come up here for it to go in one ear and out the other. I don't make those trips for that. I make those trips to do what God assigned for me to do. If it means that I got to come up here and rub your fur the wrong way where you'll turn the kitty around, then that's just what it's going to take. But you get to decide. I can't decide for you. All I can do is say, here's the evidence. Here's the deal. You decide. The jury's still out whether you're going to decide or not. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. We got kids in the back?
Yes.
Marissa back there? You going to be back there tomorrow night? You got the heavy night, didn't you?
I was hoping so.
Hallelujah. So, you get to decide. What am I going to do? Am I going to go the route of things in my life that are controlling my life, or am I going to let God control my life and take that route? I believe in you, and I believe that you have a greater God, and I believe that you'll go the God route. That's what I believe. I have faith that God wins, and things of this world lose. Lift your hands to heaven. Just begin to worship Him. Praise Him and thank Him. I worship you, Jesus. Glorify you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you and thank you, Jesus. All we had to say tonight had to be said. I don't know what else to say about it. There's always been a problem. There's always been a problem in the church where it seemed like if the women didn't do it, it didn't get done. You say, well, how's that a problem? Well, because men are supposed to be the priest. Women aren't supposed to be the priest. Thank God for every godly woman that gets there and there and cleans a church or does this or does that. Thank God for that. But the men are supposed to be the ones in the church here leading it and taking it down a godly path. How can you be the groom if you're not following Jesus? Well, you don't know my wife. Yeah, well, that's not going to cut it when you get to heaven. God always honors a decision that is based on Him. God always honors a decision that is based toward Him, Jesus. He always honors it. I thought I was supposed to wait till Sunday, Pastor. But I guess I wasn't. I don't know. I felt that anointing come on so strong before then. I knew it was the right time. Look, nobody's out to condemn you or hurt you. We just want you turning toward God more and more and making your decisions based on God. Because that's what God wants. That's what we're hired for. That's what God had us to do, whether it be me or David or Cindy or Shelley or whoever. That's what God appointed us to do. It's to turn people toward Him and His things. But I don't like to hear it. I'm sorry. But if you come in this room, you will hear it. If it needs to be said. I have hundreds of thousands of churches lining up right now to hear a message like tonight. You don't really believe that, do you, Zach? I thought there for a minute you were believing it. No, most of them want to hear a good rah-rah message. or one about seed faith. Or, yeah, tithe. Leave the check in the offering. Sit down, sit back, and shut up. Glory be to God. I praise you and thank you. And I know we'll get to 2 Peter, Luke 14, and Romans 8. I know we'll get to all those before the weekend's over. Actually, we got to them tonight. A little bit. Here and there. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.